in our everyday life, we hear, we listen that this person has become ill, this has happened to this person, or another person's fallen ill or unwell with regards to illnesses, or someone's got a disease. We ourselves get ill and we hear about others getting ill in our society, in the world around us. This is something that's common. It's regular. And what's the reason for this? For a person who becomes ill, unwell. To summarize, what the medical field and practice tells us, and the research that has taken place, and the results that have come out, is that when a person's energy, power, ability physically gets reduced, when there's a reduction in a person's immune system, in other words, that energy, that power, that strength that can prevent illnesses, you call this the immune system or the barrier that's within an individual, the more a person's weak, the more that person's immune system is weak, the more he will catch illnesses and he won't have the strength to prevent the illness or to stop it. Let's take, for example, a cold or a flu. Let's take the example of cold or flu. There are many illnesses. Let's take this example. Now, somebody here must have a flu or cold. Not everybody's got a cold. So why is that one person's got a cold and the second or the third party doesn't have a cold? What's the reason? The reason is that the person who's got a cold, his body immune system or his ability to prevent the infection, etc., couldn't prevent it. And there are viruses or bacteria around us, and they attacked that person's immune system, and it could not put up a barrier or a defense. Person starts to sneeze and cough and feel temperature. He's got a flu. Now, further, if a person doesn't cure the flu, like nowadays we're a bit lazy, a bit laid back, and if a person doesn't take the medicine and he says, oh, I'll have some other foods, and he doesn't take a proper cure, proper medicine, then that disease or illness spreads, gets worse. Now, the flu or the cold can get worse and become pneumonia. Some people don't even take care, even at that stage when they've got pneumonia, they just drink tea and say it's okay. Then that pneumonia gets worse, and then it attacks a person's lungs, for example. Then water comes into the lungs, and then that story, it develops, gets worse, and gets critical, and sometimes it gets to a very bad stage that's not reversible. And this is the research medically which has been conducted on the human body. Now, this is the example of the dunya. Illnesses come and go, a person goes through sickness, etc. But the next world that we will come to, our, in our life, forgive me for saying this, but we don't have certainty in the fact that we're going to go to the next world. We don't have yaqeen in the fact that we will not go, we'll go to the next world. There are many proofs for this. Do you accept what I'm saying? And I say, no, I believe in death, and I've got fikr for death, maut, but I don't accept it. I don't accept it. We say we believe in it, but we don't accept it. It's a simple example. Subhanallah, Allah Ta'ala has prepared two ways for death. Yes, the main point, the main factor is to come, and the other one is that we will depart from here. Allah Ta'ala has prepared for people to come and to depart. The child doesn't come in one day, Allah, but it takes time, 9 months. The development process continues. Mother, she has a burden, she goes through physical challenges. We don't know, it's the female who knows. But the conditions and the phases the mother has to go through, Allah Ta'ala didn't give respect more for the mother for nothing, and give the maqam, the high status, to the mother for nothing. The process she has to pass through, distress, vomiting in the beginning, lots of turbulence. So Allah Ta'ala has prepared for the child to come, goes through phases, the process gives difficulty to someone. Yes, I've come into the world with an announcement. And departure as well, Allah Ta'ala gives big signs for coming and for going. Those people who depart, pass away. But the signs are beneficial when we have yaqeen, certainty. Otherwise, for death, Allah has given two signs clear to us. Automatically, when we go to the bed first, if that's not maut, then what is it? When we go to sleep. We say it when we go to sleep, that Allah, we're about to die. We're about to pass away. There are various du'as. Allah, I'm about to die. Allah, if you stop my breath, it's your choice. Forgive me if I pass away. If you take me out of this death, then give me the tawfiq to do amal. This is a great du'a. Yes, remember this in Urdu if you can. Yeah, we know that dua, Allahumma bismika amut wahya, that we're saying, Allah, we are going to die, we are going towards death, but still we don't have yaqeen that we are going to ultimately pass away. Look at our brain. We don't have yaqeen that we're dying, but we're dying. Otherwise, what else is dying? Soon as we read that dua, Allah gives us maud, we are unconscious, our brain's not working, nothing's, we're not thinking, no shop, no business, no wife, no children. Totally, it's like we are dead, and all of the dunya is detached from us. The shop can be looted, whatever. Allah Ta'ala could make us sleep 100 years. Did Allah Ta'ala not make someone sleep 100 years? He did. 100 years of death Allah can give to us. And then Allah can put that person back to life. How much did you sleep? Just got up 5 minutes. Look at the big sign Allah Ta'ala gave. Some people say that 8 hours I slept. Didn't even know. Oh, still feel sleepy. How much did you sleep? I slept at 8 p.m. and I got up at 7 a.m. 11 hours and they're still feeling sleepy. So this is such a big sign that Allah shows every day to us that a person dies when we sleep, but we still don't believe that death is going to come. There's a bigger sign than this, Allah shows. Ajib. There's even a bigger sign. There's that one man who I know, he's someone from my family. I know that person who's with us, he's eating, drinking, and he had a bed, his clothes are hanging in the wardrobe, everything's there. Suddenly he dies, disappears. And then he's in front of us lying down, dead. The same person who was alive, my chacha, mamu, relative, uncle, human being, but he's passed away. Lying down on the bed, he's dead, proper dead. And people say he's died. He's died. He's gone. Do we have yaqeen for maut even after we see someone else close to us dying? The next question, when this person's died, who was like me, alive, moving, he went to hospital 2, 3, 4 days, then he's disappeared. He's gone. So hey, if we had yaqeen, now the proof's coming about yaqeen in our strength of certainty in death. If we really had certainty in death, belief in death, that person's dying, we're crying, and there's remorse, and then there's khatam, and then food is cooked, and that's for us as well, to please ourselves. Yes, he's not going to eat chapati, food, water. Then we cook according to our desires, sitting down, chit-chat with the people who have come. And we're talking, there's puris and food and people are gathered. This is also a drama tradition. But this has no link with the deceased. He's gone. She has gone. So what's the real genuine sign Allah Ta'ala showed us while we stood? What's the real sign? That now have yaqeen that you are going to die as well. Allah is saying, now have yaqeen at least. If only the man was to understand at that point. If only we were to understand, at least have yaqeen now. Allah says, at least believe now that you're going to die. At least be certain now that you're going to pass away from this world. And here to see if really we do have belief and certainty. This is a position where we should be reflecting, deep pondering. Do I have yaqeen now? Do I believe now? And now I tell you, we don't have yaqeen. We don't believe. Was that individual who has belief that he's going to die, I swear by Allah, after seeing death, he will never leave salah. Never, ever will he sacrifice salah. From his roots, the bihayi, the modesty will go. Life of modesty will come. Of shame will come. His direction will change. And I've seen people change like this after they've seen someone die. I've seen this. A fasiq, evil doer, fajr, insan. He became a person who prayed salah. He became pious. He left gambling. He became a good and upright person. He detached himself and did tawbah, repented from every sin. Because he had yaqeen, certainty, that this person X is gone, I man also will die one day. But 300 men, if they stood in one place and see the death of another person, maybe, for example, one won't have yaqeen that he's gone, she's gone, and I've got to go as well. This is the amount we're looking at, the percentage. Allah's given a big sign that you people have akal, intellect. There are many other ways I could have implemented this person's death. You wouldn't have realized I would have made him die. I wouldn't have shown a gathering. There wouldn't have even been a janaza or an announcement that this people's died. I wouldn't have even told you that this person's passed away. But I said one reason, this is my tariqah method. So you can see and witness and have yaqeen that we also are going to depart from this world. We need to start preparing now. Now. And how many deaths we have seen? Tell me, one death after one death, have we stood there and done tawbah, repented to Allah, I've seen this person dying, Allah, leave this sin now. I'm not going to commit any more sins. That's it. New life from now. I turn the new leaf. Allah can never leave salah from today. This person never prayed salah. He's going to go in his grave now. His life's finished. He used to go like me to shops and run businesses. What has he got now? Warning. Allah, his money's here, his bank balance is here, his bank account's left in the dunya, his wife's here. When her iddat completes, then maybe she'll do a new nikah, a new invitation for marriage will come to her. Life goes on. So tomorrow, this will happen to me as well. I will pass away. My things will be left behind. So Allah has given me a big announcement, a big sign Allah has given to me, that Allah Ta'ala has given us a big opportunity, his kind of mercy, that without any direct confrontation, Allah has given us a big announcement that you are about to die as well. Prepare now. Is this not the case, my friends? Is this not the case? This is called yaqeen, that after seeing someone else die, after praying the janazah salah of another person, our lives will change. No, I'm sitting down, chijao, my friend, he died and everyone's crying. No. If you've got belief in death, and we learn from the death of someone, Allah showed me this death of a person, then in those homes, salah arises. In their lives, deen arises. They leave haram. They leave immodesty, the life of shameless life. Oh, no, do your fikr for yourself. Don't tell me. Why are you reading Quran for the person who's died? We're preparing gatherings. Food is being cooked. We're calling other people to read Quran for the deceased. Allah said, I showed you this person dying so that you can bring iman into your lives. Why do you worry about him? He's died and gone and you're reading Quran for him. That's between me and him. Allah says, I am Rahim. I can, without any of your actions, forgive that person. I don't need your Quran. And that Allah says, look, you did this action one day, oh deceased person, I liked your action. Angels, take him into paradise. That's Allah's choice. That's it. It's not up to us. Allah says that person who's died has come to me. I'm Rahim. I'm Kareem. It's based on my mercy that if I forgive him or not. Not your actions. People who have amal will be left behind and the sinful people will go into paradise. That's Allah's choice. So he's died. She's died. They've gone to Allah's fadl. Allah's grace is mercy. Allah be merciful to them. And Allah says, you worry about yourself now. Don't worry about those who've gone. Worry about yourself. In reality, so as I told you about, the physical illness is limited to this dunya. What do we get? You get ill, then you get well again. You might die, worst case. But the sickness of a person, the real sickness, which sickness? Which is the worst sickness, which is above and more intense than physical sickness, upon which the decision of Jannah and Jahannam will be decided. Not physical body sickness I'm talking about. No. That can it be that due to a cold or some tuberculosis and cancer, the worst case is that you'll die. They won't go with you into the grave. But the sicknesses that goes into the grave and with us to thereafter are the worst. They're not linked to the body. They're not physical sickness. They are spiritual sicknesses. Spiritual sicknesses. Just like when we get a cold or the flu, I worry, I'm coughing and spluttering and I've got a high temperature or a fever, we worry. But what I think, if we take out the percentage, that have we ever thought about the spiritual sickness which is permanent, which will go to the hereafter with us, which will decide whether I go to paradise or hellfire? How many of us are there who worry about those sicknesses? And how should we cure them and get rid of them before we get to the hereafter? Just like the bodily sickness, when the immune system gets weak and the sicknesses increase, in the same way spiritual sicknesses increase, my brothers. Do we defend against them? The spiritual sicknesses arise, and on those sicknesses the decision will be made for us for the hereafter, forever. Why? Why do those sicknesses come? The body was weak, the sickness came. So spiritual sicknesses, why do they come? Inside us, the same way, when the defense barriers are weak, just like in the body, Allah has kept the foundation of the spiritual life, the qalb, the heart. When it gets weak, kamzor, as we say, when it gets weak, when the heart gets weak, then spiritual diseases come into the life of a person. Just like I get a cold because my body is weak, my immune system is weak, then that cold is restricted as well. But the cold of the ruh will go to Jahannam with us, may Allah forgive. And these sicknesses, if they go with us to the grave and thereafter, then where will they be cured? They will be cured. They will be cured. But Allah, will He send us to Jannah with the sicknesses? No. Allah says, first go into Jahannam, hellfire. Allah will say, let me cure your sicknesses now. You decided to bring them with you. It was better that you became healthy before you died. But now I'll have to cure your sicknesses, Allah says. So Allah will order, send him into hellfire and burn him. Allah says, should we be worried about the colds and influenza in the world or the spiritual sicknesses? Do justice. Tell me the right answer, brothers. Should we be worried about a cold and a flu or those sicknesses that will travel with us to the hereafter, which will be cured by the intense burning heat of Jahannam? Should we be more worried about that sickness or the sicknesses of the dunya? Tell me. Why do the sicknesses come? Because when inside us the defense barrier, the heart, is weak, the immune system of the heart gets weak and fragile and critical, then it doesn't have any strength that it can fight the germs, the bacteria, all of the spiritual, ruhani sicknesses. Then they start coming and developing and increasing in the life of the person. The flu, when it gets worse, it becomes pneumonia. Pneumonia, then it affects the lungs and the kidneys, and you get worse. And now look, when your heart is weak spiritually, the first step of the spiritual sickness is when? This is all according to Hadith and Quran, I'm telling you. Just summarizing if you're easy. So now let's reflect within ourselves. Let me look inside myself. You, all of us, listen carefully, you people of belief, listen carefully. First spiritual sickness that comes inside a person is why? When the heart is weak, when the heart is kamzor, heart becomes fragile, there's no life in it, no strength. So the first spiritual sickness that will come is what? You'll see it, you'll feel it. The first one, what is that? The first spiritual ruhani sickness that comes into the heart is nifaq. The sickness that's called what? Nifaq, hypocrisy. With nifaq, a person becomes a munafiq. What does he become? Munafiq. Listen carefully to what I'm saying. That's why we're here today, my friends. To learn, understand what I'm saying. After understanding, we become human beings and leave this gathering as human beings. If we have belief in Allah. If we have yaqeen. If we have yaqeen, then every man will become a person of iman, and our deen will become one. You know, differentiation in deen today is why? Because yaqeen is fragile. You are this, you are this, and you are this. You're this, your church, my masjid, this place of worship. But a person who has yaqeen in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, qulu la ilaha illallah, then he will travel towards hereafter greatly. Rasulullah announced, recite this kalima, Jannah is waiting for you. Paradise. Person who has yaqeen in this, he became Siddiq. Akbar. And a person who didn't believe in this became Abu Jahl. So everything is based on yaqeen. Same story, whoever is yaqeen, I swear by Allah, today his life can change. All his previous sins Allah will forgive. Wipe away. Night of Jummah. Night of Jummah we will attain. Listen carefully what I'm saying. First sickness of the heart, spiritual sickness, when the heart is weak, is what? Nifaq. What's the drama of nifaq? So we believe in the cold. We believe in influenza. No one asks, oh, I've got a cold today. I've got flu today. And I'm not asking you, but you tell me, I've got a cold, I've got cough. Did I ask you? No, you're just telling me. And this sickness, ruhani, spiritual, that we ourselves don't believe we are sick. We will never accept that we've got the sickness. Nifaq. No, never have we gone to the doctor. No, I'm not sick. Nifaq, intense spiritual blackness. Darkness on the inside. No, I'm not murafiq, I'm a solid Muslim. Don't ask, I'm the best, I'm pious. The Jannah's doors open for me, I'm ashik, I'm lover of the Prophet. Give me all the titles you can think of. Yes, some titles the dunya gives us, some we give ourselves. And if we don't put titles on name, we get upset. Why don't you call me with a title? Why don't you respect me? Subhanallah. And we get upset. That why are you not calling me with this name? This is my stage. Why didn't you give me the title on the stage? And for example, if somebody doesn't address me with a piety, oh, he's my enemy. He didn't call me what I am. He didn't give me the title. Am I right or am I wrong? Don't we get upset? You say, why are you upset with me, my friend? I don't know why he's upset. And he's upset that you didn't address me with that status. I've got my image so people can hear him, that I'm this and I'm that and I'm big time. Astaghfirullah. But when the sickness is there, that will take us to hellfire, jahannam, that we don't even believe in ourselves that I've got that sickness. Or I am that, or I am not that. Don't take what I'm saying badly, but this is the reality. Do we believe? Does anyone here believe that we're munafiqs? Who here is a jannati? Everyone will say, yes, I'm jannati. May Allah make it. If I say, is there any munafiq here? Nobody. You might be munafiq, you'll say to me, but we're fine, we're not munafiqs. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, okay, fine, we won't say anybody's a munafiq. Why? Because this is between Allah and us. Between who? Allah and us. Allah's put the veil. And it's best if the veil stays. Otherwise we'll be shamed. Because Allah is sattar. And he's hidden everything. Otherwise we wouldn't even be given a salamu alaykum to each other. If Allah was to write on our faces our sins, the spiritual sicknesses, Allah says it's best to keep them behind the veil, the curtain. But Rasulullah said, I need to cure you. So let me show you, tell you the signs of hypocrisy. Allahu Akbar. And it's for those people I'm telling, so they can understand that I'm sick. When they understand, then what will he do? What will he do? So he can cure himself and he can go into paradise. Subhanallah. Yes, so Rasulullah said, I won't label you as a munafiq, I won't blame any of my ummati, you are munafiq, you're a hypocrite. But I'll tell you the signs so that Allah can be merciful on you. It's not so you're destroyed or ashamed, so that the wali Allah will come, the ulama will come, the scholars will come, the muhaddithin will come, they'll give khutbat on Jummah, and they will give bayan and explain, they will don't tell you you're munafiq, but what will they do? They'll say that these are the signs of the hypocrite. And those who have yaqeen, certainty, they'll do tawbah and rise from that gathering with repentance. Am I saying the right thing or wrong? So today this gathering, Allah has made us come together, alhamdulillah. And mashallah, beautiful, pious people are sat here like you. But husn beauty is on one side. Allah is honest and Allah is not afraid of speaking the truth. So we need to look inside ourselves a little bit today. And even if we have to speak behind the veil to Allah, but don't leave until you make the promise to Allah. Recognize what we are. Those who have yaqeen. Otherwise we're playing games, we'll deny. Even after seeing janazah, we'll say, no, you are going to die. You are sick, I'm healthy, I'm never going to die. You are the one who's going to die. I've just come to see you off, and I'll feed those people who come and remember you in the khadam. So, munafiq, Rasulullah said, the first disease on the heart when it's weak is nifaq. Munafiq, ya Rasulullah, please tell us what's the signs of nifaq. Even though you won't label us as a munafiq, the first sign of the munafiq, this hadith in Sahih Mishkat, number one, he will break the trust. Yeah, khiyanat of the amanat. He will do khiyanat of the amanat. He is a total breaker of trust. He breaches the trust. He breaks the trust. He loots people's funds or money or trust. He's a looter. He's a thief. People think he's honest, but he's a deceiver. He's deceitful. To the high extent, he's a zalim. Oppressor to do khiyanat. If I say, you're pious, mashallah, you're good, you've got a beard, here's my money, take my money. You trusted that person. A mu'min trusted you. Yes, he says, give it to me. Alhamdulillah, la ilallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. Take the money. We've taken the money. Whatever he gave you is trust, money or something else. Then we start our work. No, what can I do? Did I say to you, give me the money? I spent the money. I can't give it back to you. I don't have the money. I can't give it to you. Allah Ta'ala, He likes those who forgive. That's what we say, isn't it? I'm laughing. Somebody has to give my money, and maybe a few hundred thousand. And anyway, it's not my habit. I said, give my money. It's been quite a long time. Can you give the money? You are pious. And he said, no, you're pious. Allah likes those who forgive. But Allah also likes those who give money back, isn't it? That if you've taken a loan, at least give my money back, isn't it? He said, no, Allah likes those who forgive, please forgive me. This is a person who does khiyanat, those who do khiyanat with the trust. What does Allah say? Their first sign of nifaq. Think, even if it's a small amount of trust, but if we break that trust, yes, it's a haram action. This is the severe sin to give someone pain, that he's given you trust and you've broken that trust. You've deceived that person with your appearance, with your face, with your akhlaq, with your conduct, whether it's your wife or children, whoever it is. Whichever individual, if we say this tomorrow that we trusted him and we said, get married to this person, this is trust as well. We trusted him, we thought he's pious. Okay, I got married to this person, but he's turned out to be horrible, this person. This is breaking the trust. This is also khiyanat. For example, if someone trusts you and you present your trust and prove your trust and then you deceive that person after, this is the breach of trust. This is a summary I'm giving to you. Ulama ikram, the scholars can explain. Maybe in the Jummah bayans, you can hear this point. Yes, so khiyanat in amanat. What's the next sign? What's the next sign of the hypocrite? To lie. To lie. That person lies regularly. I'm just coming. 2 minutes. Just wait 2 minutes. And then his heart, he says, I'm not going to come back. I'll give you the money tomorrow. I'll come tomorrow and take the check from me. I'll give you the check. In other words, lying upon lying upon lying upon lying. Lying to the wife, children. Allah says that even the children, when they see the father or mother, they start lying as well. They copy. Even the children start to lie. I've seen a small child, 4 years old. Allahu Akbar. 4 years old. And a phone came home. Someone phoned his father. And the child said, Dad, someone's calling you. The father said, tell him or her, I'm not home. To the child, even though he's home. The children, they hear. Tell him, I'm not home. I'm not here. And he says, I'm not home, when he's at home. So lying is a severe sin. It's a major sin. Only a munafiq can lie. A mu'min cannot lie. Imagine this. Think about this. In the day, how many times do we lie? How many times do we lie? We cannot imagine. We think it's permissible to lie. Oh, it's okay to lie here. We're allowed to. There's no difference. It doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make a difference. It's okay. It's okay. Third sin, which is the sign of the hypocrite. The third sin. Yes, first was breaking the trust. Second was lying. This is not the sin. This is the sign of what? The munafiq. The sign of the weakness of the heart. These are the signs. Suddenly, when the heart doesn't even weak, then this sin comes suddenly. Suddenly. So the third sign of the hypocrite is to break the promises. To break the promises. This is a very common habit, to break the promises. That he doesn't want to ever fulfill the promise. Yes, this is against his nature to fulfill the promise, because he is a munafiq. He doesn't want to fulfill the promise. Fourth sign of hypocrite. If ever there's a quarrel or a difference, he won't just debate normally. He'll get to the mother, to the sister. He'll start swearing, abusing. They're joking, and they start joking light-hearted, and it gets worse, worse, intense. If the servant's working for him, he starts swearing at the servant. Before three words are said, he swears, home, wife, children. He swears at the children or the family or other people. I've seen families like this. Swearing. Swearing. It's amazing, shocking. That person, for example, the meter, is running. And the swear words are coming out, especially when he's angry, swearing, and he swears on the car, yeah, and on people he knows and family. Ajeeb swear words. So four signs Rasulullah ﷺ said, when the heart is weak, person whose heart is diseased or dirty, contaminated or hard like a rock, then nifaq is the first disease, the sign of a weak heart. And there are four signs of hypocrisy. And if he has all four signs, then he is a total munafiq. If he has one of these signs of the four, then he has the signs of hypocrisy, and he's still a munafiq. He'll complete it. If the flu becomes the cold, becomes the pneumonia, becomes death. And the same way, one sign of nifaq goes to two to three, becomes a full munafiq, and in the akhirah will happen. It's not a cold that you can leave it here. So when we die, then these diseases of nifaq will be compacted and sent with us into the grave and into the hereafter. We'll go into the qabr, the day of resurrection, on the day of judgment. In front of Allah, we'll be presented. Allah will say, go, and these four sicknesses of nifaq, take them, cure them. And that person will be burnt in the bottommost ditch of Jahannam, as stated by Rasulullah. So do we want to remove this sickness here in this world or in Jahannam? When we die, our janazah will be conducted. When we do the janazah, don't worry about me. When we go to the graveyard, what did Rasulullah say? That you've gone, no deceased person, but I'm not going. But what do we learn? I'm coming as well after you. On every footstep, we are taught to give yaqeen that you are also to die. You will die, you will also die. We are saying with our mouths that, brother, you've gone and I'm coming after you as well. I'm going to follow you soon. We say this when we do janazah. And the people in the grave say, yes, we're waiting for you. You're coming to us quickly as well. You think you've got many years. You haven't got many years. We can see that you're very soon going to die and come and join us in the grave. Allahu Akbar. Whose janazah are you praying? You're going to pray here. People are going to pray yours soon. We think quick is 4 hours, 5 hours. And the people in the grave, their time span is short. For us, 10, 15 years is very short time span for the inhabitants of the grave. Very short time span. It's nothing. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated that he's a munafiq, the hypocrite, and the place, the house of the hypocrite, is the bottommost pit of Jahannam, because his heart was diseased, dirty. He's got four sicknesses. Rasulullah SAW has told us the signs. Now there's one work to do, one job. Either we die as munafiqs or we die as mu'mins, believers. Allah's Nabi SAW said, it's your choice now. It's in your hands. What choice would you like to take? Such a big sickness, illness, nifaq, hypocrisy. So my brothers, this heart and the disease of the heart, the sickness of the heart, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that what is the way to release ourselves, detach ourselves from these sicknesses? Say subhanallah. Rasulullah told us the tariqah, the method of detaching the four signs of nifaq from our hearts. The person came and he said, washakka. He said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Prophet of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon you. Ya O Prophet of Allah, that my heart has become like a rock, a stone, hard, intense, severe. Totally has become hard like a rock. How? And he then presented all his problems. Like I've just told you, he said, I do this. He was honest. I need the cure, Prophet of Allah. I'm going to die. I'm munafiq. I'm a liar. I take people's money. I deceive them. I take their treasures and the dunya. I love the dunya like a dog in the dunya. All the sicknesses of the heart. And he presented them. Oh, Prophet of Allah, I've got this. What shall I do? What's the solution? I am in a very bad state. Very bad state. Allahu Akbar. So my brothers, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then prescribe the solution for the heart. Rasulullah said, correct your heart. Correct it. What's the solution for the cold or flu or pneumonia? I told you. We go to the physicians, the doctors, and we need to strengthen our immune system. And we'll be safe from flu, influenza, common sicknesses. Take the tonic, food, strong foods, and vitamins, and increase the power in your body so you can defend against germs. So Rasulullah said, your heart is weak and the sicknesses come in your heart, then strengthen the heart. Strengthen the heart. Ya Rasulullah, how should we strengthen our hearts? So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu gave us a dua, a message in the form of a dua, a prayer. Allahumma iftah. Rasulullah said that, O Allah, allow us to unlock the padlock of the heart via dhikr Allah, bi dhikr Allah. Big, great piece of news for those who want to be saved from nifaq, hypocrisy. Those who want to be saved from hypocrisy, then I've just said something, I'll explain a bit more depth, because we've just mentioned one sickness, isn't it? Nifaq, munafiq. But when munafiq, nifaq increases, when we don't cure nifaq, then after cold flu becomes pneumonia. So the next sickness after nifaq, if we don't cure it, listen carefully and clearly, the next sickness after a person becomes a munafiq is more dangerous if we don't cure the nifaq. Then it's fisq. Fisq. Allahu Akbar. An evildoer. If we don't cure nifaq in our hearts, then it becomes stronger. And then a person goes from becoming a munafiq to a fasiq. Fisq comes into his life. Death doesn't come here, but this sickness increases, gets more intense. What's a fasiq? We've seen this sickness and disease, and may Allah forgive us. He becomes a fasiq in the world. Evildoer. And the signs of a fasiq are very ajeeb. He is worse than the munafiq. He's a bigger criminal than the munafiq. What's the sign of the fasiq? And we've heard this and seen this. The first sign of the fasiq, of an evildoer, who does fisq in life, is that he leaves the imitation and obedience to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sunnah. In his life, there's no sharia and sunnah. He's a fasiq. That's the first sign of the fasiq. First sign. Yes, and for this reason, because he doesn't have sunnah in his life, he doesn't have sharia, then what becomes his hal? That all of his life and actions passes on shahwat and lust and desires. No control. No control. And what controls our nafs and lust and passions is the sunnah sharifa of the Prophet Muhammad. Remember this. If you want to control your lust and passions and desires, no action will control it. What will it? Sunnah only can control the lust and the desires. And for the fasiq, he has no respect for sunnah. He says, this is not zaruri. Where is this written? Why are you practicing? This is not in the deen. This is not important. Allah, I'll give you one example. One example, when I should give the example so we learn. Listen to this clearly, totally, openly, the fasiqs today. Yes, they've taken the place of the prayer mats, the mimbar, they give adhan, and they recite Quran, and long recitation and functions. Even those people are fasiq. This disease has taken the place of all those places. What is this disease? All four imams of fiqh have said that person is a fasiq who shaves his beard or cuts his beard. And in this day and age, tell me how many people are doing this. Am I not right or wrong? Is this not happening today, this sin? Imams on the prayer mat, in the masjids, in their khutbahs, the muazzins, those who recite Quran, they all do this action. Who are those people? All four imams of fiqh, the mujtahideen have said, the person who shaves his beard or trims his beard, he is a fasiq. The first sign of the fasiq is that he is weak. He is weak. And the action he will do is he will kill the sunnah of Rasul. He say, no, I'm not doing anything wrong. Don't tell me I'm doing anything wrong. Well, show me where it's written. It's not fard. Is it compulsory? Show me, is it fard this action? It's sunnah, sunnah, it's okay, I can leave it. It's wajib compulsory. Wajib compulsory. Fasik, a person who does fisk, evildoer, he is higher than the munafiq in intensity of sin. The punishment of the munafiq, he'll get worse punishment than the munafiq. May Allah forgive, may Allah forgive. And this is due to what? Due to the heart. Due to the heart. So that person will have fisk in his life. He will leave the obedience of the Holy Prophet ﷺ's sunnah. His life will be based on desires. He will pray Fajr sometimes. When he feels like praying, he'll pray. When he doesn't feel like, he'll leave praying Fajr. He'll come to Isha. Sometimes he'll pray at home. Sometimes in Jamaat. Sometimes in Masjid. Sometimes he'll have no system of life which should be according to Sharia. Allah Ta'ala has defined Sharia. For him is no importance. His ibadah, go Hajj when he feels like, do Hajj according to his desire. Where is it written? I have to do this. I can do this. I don't have to do this part. I can leave this pillar. Where is it said that pray Salah like this? Where is it said do this action? To this extent, he will even pray Salah without doing wudu, because he's following his nafs. Oh, it's not strict. Islam is not strict. It's not hard. Oh, parda comes off. And behayai, modesty. All of this comes for this one reason. Fisk has come into that person's life, on his body, in his home, in his family. In that family, in that village or city, in basti, in village or city. When you see there's no sunnah, swear by Allah, what will come in place of the sunnah? Nifaq won't come. Nifaq is the minor. Fisk will come. Evil actions, because those people are discarding the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Listen carefully to what I'm saying. Yes, this is not the story of Layla Majnu. This is not about this and that, Jackanory tales. May Allah allow us to understand in these majalis so we can make our lives better. Ameen. Do you understand what I'm saying? Can we recognize the sicknesses? There's such a level of fisk. Just now, if I go to the toilet, will I go according to the sunnah? When I sleep, do I sleep according to the sunnah? When I eat, do I sleep according to eat? When I do business, do I do according to the sunnah? No. Where I see benefit, I'll run to the benefit. Desires. Where they will be showing? Sunnah, sunnah. To show people. I feel like Hazrat Sahib, what he wears, I want to wear the same clothes. The shoes he wears, I want to wear those shoes. The glasses he wears. I'm an ashik, I'm a sheikh, lover of my sheikh. Have you ever seen the way your Hazrat Sahib, his character? Have you got the character like that? I don't speak about myself. No, speak about the walis of Allah. People, this is how you should do nakal of your teacher. What's this? Fisk, fisk, evil, evil. You're not doing nakal according to your desires. I want to become like him, his clothes, his face, shakal. I look like Hazrat Sahib, this is my ishq. This is not ishq. This is not love. And not even of the sunnah, that you make your face and appearance and inside total fisk. Deviance, lying, fraud, deceitful. This is not ishq of Rasulullah. This is Jekyll and Hyde. Allah Ta'ala doesn't look at the face, Allah will look at the heart. Is your heart sick? This heart is ill. Is he coming to me with fisk? Is he coming to me with nifaq? After that will come Quran, Salah, and all ibadah that we have gathered and collected. After that will come. First Allah will look at nifaq and fisk. When we go to Allah, Allah will say, open his heart and show me his heart. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Qalbin Salim, ata bi qalbin Salim. Has he brought this heart to me? The qalb will say, no, Allah, I've got salah, I've got fasting, I've got hajj, Allah, I've got this ibadah, this worship. Allah said, put that to the side, I'm not interested. Open his heart, Allahu Akbar. Allah will say, open his heart. What's in his heart? And forget about opening the heart. Such hearts, when they go into the grave, then the grave, if the heart has got nur, the grave will become nur, light. The place of nur, and those people are different. 300 years after, this is a true event I'm telling you now. And the name of this person is coming out of my mind, Abul Hassan, or Qari Abul Hassan, I think. 300 years after, the route of the river went towards his grave. And ulema, the scholars, recently, this is the finding, they said that we need to move his grave from here. He was an elder, pious, a person from before. And because the river's moved direction, it's coming towards his grave, and his grave will get drowned. So who had the courage to dig his grave? What did they see? I swear by Allah, as I said to you, that those people, when they depart from here, then their grave, it's enlightened due to the heart. When they opened the grave, they saw that his kafan, the cloth around his body, was not even dirty. It was clean. The Hafiz Quran, he was Ba'amal, the Alim Sahib, this was his maqam. That they had to remove his grave because of the river that was going to flood that plain. Allah has given such ilm of Quran. Quran, hifz and ilm. I swear by Allah, there's no greater ni'mah than this in the whole world. There is no greater ilm, ni'mah than this. That person, he becomes the bulb of nur. Not nur, but he is the whole the bulb of Noor. He's walking around like Noor, like light. But how we waste it. Why? Because our hearts are dirty. Then his Noor doesn't sustain the heart, nor does the Quran, nor does his heart sustain that Noor. He doesn't maintain that Noor. The qalb. In every way and form, a person brings fisk into his life. Doesn't matter what he's got today in this day and age, we let fisk creep into our lives and our hearts. Don't we see this? So the sign of the fasiq, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, is that he discards the sunnah. He rejects the sunnah, rejects the sharia. No importance for the fasiq to follow sunnah. No, this is small, minor. Is it a small thing? Man habba sunnati ma fa man habbani. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, whoever loves my sunnah, I will love him. And whoever I love, it won't be a false love. I will grab his hand and take him with me into paradise. This is hadith. And the fasiq says, sunnah, no, there's no sunnah. Don't need to follow sunnah. It's not necessary. It's not necessary, is it? Says the fasiq. So now, is this not a sickness? If we don't cure this sickness, then it gets worse. فَزَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا. Allah says the physical and the spiritual sicknesses get worse if you don't cure them. If you have nifaq and you do fisk, you keep on shaving the beard, break the sunnah, be prepared for the next sickness. May Allah forgive the next sickness. Beyond that, me and you, I'm speaking to myself, remember this. I speak to myself, that insan who does not cure his nifaq, he'll become the fasiq, man or woman. And the person who doesn't cure the fisk, then the next stage is coming, the next level of sin. What is that? What does that become? That is even a more dangerous level after fisk. What is left then becomes kufr and shirk. That person who doesn't cure fisk becomes he dies and departs this world in the state of kufr and shirk. So should we not cure this, my brothers? My friends, say it loudly. Why are you scared? Why are we afraid? We aren't those who are afraid. We are ready to cure ourselves. Yeah, there's no problem. Rasulullah SAW gives us the cure. Let's implement. Even today, right now, tonight, you will depart from this masjid as a wali Allah. I'll tell you the cure. You implement it. I swear by Allah right now that you will leave this masjid as the wali Allah. Allah's opened the doors, brothers, for Jannah. We are all destined to be walis Allah. Walis of Allah. Allah's opened the doors. Allah's calling 24 hours a day. Have courage, determination. Come forth, Allah says. Why is your nafs surrounded you? These three things, nifaq and fisk, and then kufr is coming next. And these, what's the sign of kufr? Then the sign, what's left after nifaq and fisk? There's one straight sign of kufr. Rasulullah has told us one straight sign. Clear. The kufr and iman, between kufr and iman is one action. If you take that, then you are joining with kufr, and that is salah. Salah. Allahu Akbar. If we don't pray salah, Allah, we don't even know about salah. Prayer. In those homes, families where there's no salah, those people who don't pray salah, they don't pray in congregation, jamaat, then there's no iman in those homes and no way or form. Shirk has come to that house. In their deeds, shirk has become included. Khafi, apparent, hidden, shirk is in the deeds. Their deeds are so weak, their Allah gives them a test. Straight away, they will leave iman due to that test Allah will give them. They'll leave iman that time, straight away. Small tests. They sell their iman in those small tests. They sell their iman. Very extremely weak becomes iman, and they stood on the boundary. They stood on the boundary of deen. Totally weak on the edge, on the banks of deen and kufr. At the border. But there's a tariqah even then, at that stage, Rasulullah has given us a cure to save ourselves, because we've got iman. That everything of theirs, shirk is included in all of their deeds. Their ibadah, the shirk, in their amal, in their words, in their deeds, shirk is included. Shirk means what? That no, apart from Allah, they've detached themselves from Allah. They don't trust in Allah. They don't believe in Allah. They don't ask from Allah. They don't take from Allah. They don't remember Allah. They'll believe in an amil, a magician, but they won't believe in Allah. They'll believe in a sorcerer, but not Allah. The sorcerer can give, the exorcist can give, he can give me a son, he can cure me, Quran can't. Allah won't cure me, I'll go to the amils, the magicians, the sorcerers. This is the thought process of the shirk, the mushrik. He's doing shirk at that time. He's praying salah doing shirk, keeping fast doing shirk. That the person can do shirk with Allah against the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person doesn't include Allah Ta'ala in his deeds, he's doing shirk. Salah doesn't go to Allah. The Quran doesn't remain. That Kaaba, he can stay in super glimpse of the Kaaba and he can stand in front of the Rawda. It's not dua, it's all shirk. All his actions become shirk. Even though physically, apparently, he's doing ibadah. That Allah Ta'ala is the one who is saving him. To the brink he's gone. And he doesn't want the link with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. But Allah Ta'ala's kalama states this, that the sign of the mu'min, the first sign is La. There's no one, nothing Allah except you. Nothing. You are the one who gives. You are the one who allows things to happen. You are the one who bestows. The rest, all the means are wasila, means to Allah. So Allah, if you allow us, then we'll adopt these means. Otherwise, we'll never adopt these means, these methods. You have said, Allah, the go to Ajr Aswad and kiss it. We kiss him, we do dua there. You said that drink zamzam and do dua. We'll drink. Otherwise, we wouldn't even do this. Allah direct will speak to you. You've given us the wasila. Go to the wali Allah and tell him to do dua. So we do dua. Yes, it's you who gives. We don't ask the wali Allah. We're asking him to do dua for us. Every niyyah through the asbab is that we want from Allah. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. Asbab Allah has given. We utilize the means to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember this. So where did we start from? Our heart was contaminated, weak, and no barrier, immune system. That person became a munafiq, hypocrite. From a munafiq, he didn't cure it, became a fasiq. He didn't cure it, becomes a mushrik. And on the other hand, when the body was weak, he had a cold. After the cold, it became pneumonia. After pneumonia, became lung infection, chest infection. Then maut came, death came. Here what happens? The body, the spirit, the ruh, you die spiritually. And here what happens? Allahu Akbar. The heart has a disease. Then nifaq came. Nifaq came hypocrisy. Hypocrisy became a fasiq, evildoer. Evildoer became a kafir. Then whose maut came? Maut, the death came. Spiritual, not the body death. The iman died. Iman dies, not the body. So here when the person gets sick, the human body dies. And here when the ruh, the soul gets sick, then iman dies. Belief dies. Here we cure the body. A person becomes healthy, no sickness, walking around, eating, enjoying his life, eating, drinking. Here, if we cure the heart, then he becomes the best mu'min and he laughs and goes into paradise. Subhanallah. Understand the comparable? Understand the comparison? So, do we want to correct our hearts? Yes. So what did Rasulullah say? Allahumma aftah aqwala qulubihim bidhikrillah. That your heart which is hard, why do you fear? Why are you afraid? Why are you scared? Say the name of Allah. Allah's name is so beloved. Sabbaha lillahi ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard. Wa huwa al-azizul hakeem. Sabbaha. What a great verse Allah Ta'ala said. Subhanallah. That is such a beautiful name. My name, Allah says, that is so pure, is the name of Allah, that when it's recited, it purifies the human being. 1,000 years you can worship an idol. 1,000 years you can do sajda to an idol, a kafir, a mushrik. 1,000 years, 100 years, you are sat in you are bowing to the idol. You say once Allah's name, the 100,000 years of idol worshipping purifies. Allah's name is so great. Your name is so great. Allah Azza wa Jal. Azza wa Jal. So high, so pure. Allah, your glory so high. You yourself, in hadith is stated, Allah praises His name Himself. Allahu Akbar. That this is my name. I kept it myself. And I've revealed the Quran with my name. And I've hidden my name in the treasures. And whoever I select in my makhluk, I allow him to recite my name in his heart. This hadith, has it come into your heart, the name of Allah? Allah allowed you, Allah selected you, Allah wanted you. Say subhanallah. We're fortunate. Allah has given us the tawfiq to recite His name. Subhanallah. What does subhan mean? Paak, pure. Sabbaha. So when Allah Ta'ala's dhikr is done by a human being, every human being when he's doing dhikr, remember everything in the world, it says in the Quran, all the angels on the arsh, on the throne, beneath the arsh, who are stood on mi'raj, wherever the angels are in the universe, subhan, 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 they are praising, glorifying Allah's paki, purity. Allah, you are pure, you are free from everything, you are free from all defects, your jalal, jamal, power, glory, power, strength. Bring it into your hearts, brothers. This is the purity and glory of Allah. So the dhakir, when he does dhikr, he'll do true dhikr. He presents Allah's glory. When he does that, he'll be purified himself. And Allah Ta'ala says, I'm pure myself and I will purify you as well. Dhikr Allah, this is Allah's remembrance. Is this a small action? My brothers, you're reciting Allah's name, the greatest. Only He can do dhikr who Allah loves. Remember this. So Allah says, whoever recites my name, whoever does my dhikr, Allah muftah akhwal, not one, not just kufr, Allah says, all of the padlocks on your heart, nifaq, lying, fraud, deceit, fraud, breaking trust, all nifaq, hypocrisy, Allah says, I'll give you shifa, fisk and fasik, evildoer, all of the padlocks, Allah says, name my name, and I will unlock your padlocks. Atfal, Allah says, I will unlock the padlocks. Kulubina bi dhikrillah. The all of the seals on your heart, Allah says, every one by one I will unlock it. And when your padlocks are unlocked, then further Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if you do the dhikr of Allah, then you will unlock, break the padlocks, subhanallah. And further, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as soon as your heart is clean, the padlocks will be unlocked. The second reward due to dhikr is what? You will get the ni'matik. Allah says, my ni'mas won't be just given to you. Allah says, I'll give you my ni'mas on a high level. This is the praise of the dhakir now, I'm telling you. That you are fasik before, evildoer, munafiq, and kafir, and hypocrisy was in your heart. Subhanallah, you repented. You went to the hand of the wali Allah, did bayah. You did dhikr of Allah, your life changed. Then Allah says, ni'matika, not one ni'mah, but ni'mas upon ni'mas upon ni'mas, and the greatest ni'mas you'll get in life. Allahu Akbar. Shall I tell you what's a ni'mah? We say ni'mah. Oh Allah, give me a son, Allah, my shop will run. Let's go to Hazrat Sahib and dhikr, become bad, and see what happens in your life. Oh, you not got no children? Go to Hazrat Sahib, become, do bayah. This is not ni'mah. This is not why we go to the wali Allah. What is the ni'mah that Allah Ta'ala will give and complete? Ni'mas are those of the dunya that will become ni'mas in the hereafter as well. Which ni'mas will Allah give? Subhanallah. That this person didn't pray salah. He now has started to pray salah. And he used to dislike salah. Now in his heart is the love for salah. He didn't pray salah with jamaat. Now he prays salah in the front row. Subhanallah. Now it's the time for salah. His body trembles and shakes. This is the biggest ni'mah. Insan, human being, to pray salah in the first row with takbiri ula. Alhamdulillah, if he gets salah, I swear by Allah, there's no greater ni'mah in the world than this. No greater ni'mah. In the whole world, you can travel far and wide. Whoever gets this ni'mah, fajr time, zuhr salah. Every salah, he's the richest, wealthiest man in the world. Allah says, Atmin, that I've totally completed my ni'mas with that person. The greatest person in my eyes, Allah says, was my mahbub, the Prophet Muhammad Sallam said, salah is the coolest of my eyes. So Allah says that this person, I love this person who's praying salah in the front row in Jamaat in the masjid. Subhanallah. Who gets this? The dhakir, when his heart becomes a dhakir, a true dhakir, man or woman. First and foremost, what comes into his life? Allah's ni'mah, the greatest, what's the greatest ni'mah? The children, houses, buildings? No. Salah. He starts to pray salah. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. The dhakir, if you see he's not praying salah, say he's not a dhakir. I'll tell you why he's not a dhakir. He's not a dhakir who doesn't pray salah. He's not a dhakir. Impossible. First sign of a dhakir, you will see. He'll become the lover of salah. The lover of salah. And even if he's forced to, he will pray salah. I'll tell you such a dervish. Karachi a dervish. Naqshbandi silsila. That every body of his, part of his body had an operation of the heart, hand operation, feet operation, I swear by Allah. In the morning he would go to the masjid. I don't know how he went after getting to Fajr Salah. He would stay until Ishraq and do Maraqabah in the masjid. And the people of the world couldn't understand. He was diseased. He had physical deficiencies on his body. But he dragged himself to the masjid. While Allah says, I do this at-tamim. I prepare. Subhan. Whoever says Subhan. Whoever says Subhan, then I purify his heart, Subhanallah. This is not a minor thing, my brothers. Remember, will we do the dhikr of Allah properly? I'm not saying this, Rasulullah, I'm saying that. Sahabi is listening. And he complained, the same complaint we've got today. We're munafiqs, we've got disease in the hearts, we are lying, I do fraud, I deceive you. You don't, I speak about myself. I'm speaking to myself. That all you are, mashallah, good people. I'm just reminding myself. Yes, I break the trust, I lie, I take people's wealth, and I do fraud, and haram. Everything we do, no, I'm a haji. Never can that people be correct, that person be corrected or cured. The Allah says, وَأَتْمِمْ نِعْمَتِكَ. I'll give you so many rewards. I cannot complete this fully now. Next point, the next point in the hadith, subhanAllah, let's go further. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, not just this, that you will just get dhikr and the ni'mas of Allah. أَسْبِكَ لَيْنَ فَضْلِكَ. Allahu Akbar, asbik. La antaha, totally. Allah Ta'ala's fadl, grace and blessings will be raining down on you. So ni'mah, Treasures is one thing, and fadl of Allah is for who? Said loudly. For what? Said loudly. Who will get this? Who? Who? The dhikr, due to dhikr of Allah. Allah's Nabi is speaking about dhikr here. The sicknesses disappear, now the rewards start. I said this, isn't it? That is not just this, that you start to do dhikr and the sicknesses go. You will leave the majlis as a wali Allah if you believe in what's being said. Wasbik alayna. Fadlik, Allah says. Fadlik, fadl, fadl. What's fadl? What's fadl of Allah? What do we define as fadl? Hada min fadli rabbi. We write this on our shops. Hada min fadli rabbi. Wealth's coming, money's coming. Hada min fadli rabbi. Factories running, warehouses running. It's written on top of the shops, isn't it? This is not the fadl of Allah. Money and assets. Allah says, my biggest fadl and blessing and bounty and my grace, my greatest blessing on the human being is that he becomes the lover of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He becomes the lover of my Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Says why? Because the greatest kamal fadl in the hereafter, Sayyid, my greatest fadl, the kamal, the greatest achievement you will get in the hereafter at the road is that the Rasulullah will take that person's hand and walk him into paradise. Subhanallah. And that can only be that person who loved the sunnah in this world. Fadl of Allah in this world is when a person starts to love and implement the sunnah. Allah says, I give him the fadl, the reward. Asbik. What is the sign? That my fadl on that person will be this, that he will start to follow tawakkul Allah, trust in Allah, reliance in Allah. He doesn't bow in front of the dunya, he doesn't eat haram in front of anyone. His tawakkul in Allah will be so great. He'll say, here's Allah, here, I'm asking from Allah, Allah will ask from Allah, Allah will give to me. A person, a mother, a pious woman told me, it's something in regards to somebody from another country. She had a daughter, 2-3 years old. She used to see the mother and father doing sujood and crying. And in the corner, she was doing dua. You know, 2-3 years old daughter. Allah, you are the one who gives everything. My mom said, ask from Allah. Allah, I'm asking from you. Allah, do this in the morning. Give me a nice paratha. Allah Ta'ala, in the morning, I would like this to eat. Please give to me. 3 years old daughter. Mother came and said, what are you doing? She says, nothing, mom, nothing. What are you asking for? She said, I'm asking for these things. From who? Who's Allah will give, isn't it? That I don't have to worry about anything in the morning. Everything will come in breakfast, inshallah. Allahu Akbar. So the 2-3-year-old daughter who has so much tawakkul Allah, reliance on Allah, than us impure budde, old people, well, we have tawakkul if we do the right thing. From which action? Say it loudly. Dhikr Allah. But we don't want to do dhikr. We don't like dhikr. Oh, this is the jamaat that does dhikr. Let them do dhikr. We're not interested. Jamaat? Is there a group, is there a jamaat of zikr in the world? Every mu'min is lazim, essential to do zikr. Every mu'min. A person who has iman, after iman has to come zikr straight away. Why? The whole universe, Allah says, sabbaha lillahi. If in the universe, every creature, living thing is saying, Allah, 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 Allah. If he, that human being is in my creation, then definitely he will do zikr. So me and you, are we not present in this universe? Allah says, everything that's in the universe remembers me. All that is in the heavens and the earth remembers Allah. If we're not doing it, then we are dead. Then we are totally finished. We're not even living. Because we don't come into this verse. Asbi walayna fadlika, Allah says. So I'll finish here. Fadl, I can tell you many fadl of Allah, subhanallah. Next reward is kamal. That Allah says, wa jannah, paradise to the people who do ibadallahi salihin. Yes. For which people? The dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah will make you what? It will complete and fulfill your desires. And promise Hazrat, that I love you. Hazrat, I have ishq for you. And that a person can get love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So much love. For example, a sahabi came crying. And he said, what's wrong? What's wrong? I'm crying. That where will you be, Rasulullah? Where will we be? Allahu Akbar. That I come to the point when my heart feels, when I remember you, I can see you in the world. Imagine the gap, just 10-15 minutes for the sahaba. Soon as you, I remember you, I go home. After 10 minutes, I remember you. I leave everything, I come back to you and I see you. Subhanallah. What a great, great ishq. Ishq, love comes like this. And this is the ishq and love I had with my sheikh, subhanallah. When I'd remember my sheikh, because this is Allah. This is Allah. When Allah comes in between the relationship, then this is what happens. It's not the man who has the love. It's he loving Allah. He's not loving the sheikh or the human being. He's loving Allah through the company of the sheikh. It's not the love with the teacher. It's the love for Allah. So the sahaba said this. that what will happen to me, Ya Rasulullah, you will go to the great abode in Jannah and thereafter, and I'm a normal man. How will I be with you? I'm not worried about Jannah, Jannum. I'm just worried that how will I see you, O Prophet of Allah? How will I be with you? How will I see you? Imagine how they were great lovers of Rasulullah, how their bodies sustained that love that they had. So Allah Ta'ala says, don't worry, stay silent, I'll give the answer. Beautiful question is presented, subhanAllah. So Allah said, you stay silent, O Rasulullah, Habiballah, so I'll give this answer, in the Quran will come the answer. Jibreel alayhi came down with the verse, that whoever you love, you will be with that person in the hereafter. Subhanallah, subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. So who will be those people? Whoever we love, we will be with those. So who will those people be? Say loudly, what are we scared of? What are we afraid? We don't have yaqeen in these words. The dhakireen, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, wa jannak ibadaka salihin. Those people who do good, Allah's next reward is this. Allah's promising, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is promising, you won't stay a fasiq, you won't stay a munafiq, you won't stay a liar. You will get rewards from Allah, and you will get all the fadl of Allah and the ni'mas of Allah. Let's go to the next level. Your desire, whoever you love in this world, in the hereafter you will be with that person. Subhanallah, wa jannah, paradise. So brothers, let's analyze, summarize, let's make our hearts correct. No sickness will come to the heart. No malady will come. Do the dhikr of Allah. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has promised, someone who does dhikr sincerely, the diseases will leave that person. If we don't do dhikr of Allah, remember this point. Here a question mark rises. I do dhikr, but it looks like the sicknesses are still there in between. They're still mixed up. I've told you the reason for this before, that the Ghaus and Qutb of his time, Qutb al-Aqtab, Ghaus al-Azam of his time, I present to you his statement. My Shaykh Hazrat Ali Murtaza, Rahmatullah Nur al-Marqada, the Ghaus and Qutb of his time, he said, if you want to see, don't criticize your dhikr. If you're analyzing yourself, Allahu Akbar. He said, the more you have itiqad and belief in your sheikh, the more you have yaqeen and certainty in your sheikh, subhanAllah, then in that same manner and level and way, the ni'mas and fadl and rahmah, more and more will come to you and your promotion will occur. So there are two types of individuals who do dhikr of Allah. One is those who learn dhikr, but the yaqeen in the sheikh is not there. They don't have belief in their sheikh. And how do we get success? From yaqeen. As a Khwaja Bahuddin Naqshband said, yaqeen is there, then you are kamil. You take the hand of the shaykh who you have yaqeen in. And we take the hand, and your waswasa shouldn't be, he's not an alim, he's not a scholar. How can he be a shaykh? He doesn't know how to recite hadith. Will he do bath? People say, do bath. Okay, we'll learn hadith. And you cannot succeed with these wasawis of shaitan. You have no ishq and certainty in the teacher. Allahu Akbar. So, if we are bestowing ourselves and entrusting ourselves to you, oh, can I recite this and this wazifa, shall I do this? Tell me a better dhikr. What effect will it take if you don't take the advice of the shaykh? Ittaqad belief says, whatever the shaykh prescribes, the name, the same dua, that's where Ismail Azam is, and we have no other sabak apart from that. Nothing. Nothing. Oh, this shaykh said this, that shaykh said this, that scholar said this, I can do this, I can do that. If you don't have ittaqad, if you don't have belief, then take the hand of that shaykh. If you have itiqad, you should have an alim, a big mufti, scholar, then go to him. Go to that person. Never take the shaykh's hand if you don't have belief in that shaykh. If you have waswasas and whispering in your heart. No, go to that person who you are fana. Imas in my Hazrat said that when you stood on the bank of the sea, the shaykh is the ocean. When you're standing on the coast at the beach, on the cliff, and just a person, the ocean is saying, come, jump into me, so I am pure and I'll purify you as well if you jump into me and swim in me. And this is the murid, the student with the sheikh. If you don't have this relationship with your sheikh, tuta, criticizing and sniggering and wazifas, my zikr is not good and why should I do this, then you'll never succeed. That's why we don't succeed in our path. If you take the hand, then become fana, jump and drown into the ocean. Allah is not far, but we have made the distance far. Yes, it's only on two steps, Allah Ta'ala's nenis, that's it. So may Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq, me and you all the tawfiq. Ameen.